This is Father Kevin Mackin at Siena College. Welcome back to News and Views as we discuss the aesthetics of the film The Passion of the Christ. With us in the studio are Dr. Patricia Trudy Cuhill, an art historian at Siena College, Dr. Mahmoud Karimi Hakak, a filmmaker working in the theater department at Siena, and Greg Zoltowski, a visual artist and a professor of creative arts here at Siena College. Greg, you create visual art with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
In the crucifixion scene of The Passion of the Christ, the hands right. putting the nails on Jesus' hands and holding the hammer are Mel Gibson's.
Mm-hmm.
That's hands-on filmmaking, isn't it?
Oh,
what's
God.
Your
That's
what's your take on that,
Well,
Greg?
That's a special effect. I mean, he was concerned about how they were going to photograph the crucifixion with the nails actually going into the hand, so they came up with this concoction where there was the hand of the actor or something was coming from underneath, and then there was a hand underneath, and then they put this prosthetic in the middle so that they could put the nail right into the middle of the hand and then knock it in. And I guess they had to do that because the whole background was realism, you know, or I should say a naturalism, you know, where everything is absolutely as vivid and as grotesque as they could possibly make it. So when he gets to that point, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to fudge on it, so to speak.
Okay.
It's also, I think it's a little, even more than that, going with the idea of the oppressor becomes, the oppressed become the oppressor. I think Mel Gibson is making a statement that I am no different than anybody else. My hand is in it as well. I'm not removed from this film as a director. Mm. Otherwise, that could easily be cut on an editing table and thrown out. But he keeps it because he really would like to stress on the point that I also am involved in this crucifixion.
Do you know what that reminds? This reminds me of is Theodore Gerco, who did The Raft of the Medusa. When he did that painting back in 1812, he researched it so thoroughly that he wanted to experience within himself the starvation that those survivors experienced on the raft. You know, he wanted to bring the punishment into his own body so that somehow it would be conveyed into the painting.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way that turned out, though, that painting is more about the glory and idealism of heroism and the overcoming of suffering than it is about the depiction of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
To photograph the Passion, Mel Gibson hired cinematographer Caleb Deschanel, who was raised a Quaker but said he finds religion, symbolisms, and imagery and metaphors to be really attractive and interesting. What did you observe about the iconography?
Anybody? The iconography, well, to me, iconography means two things. It means symbolism and metaphor. So right away I'm thinking about symbol, and the whole film actually is a symbol standing in for or representing the passion of Jesus as it was. But then when you get into symbolism, you get into interpretation, which means that Mel Gibson, who is the guy in charge, he's the director, he's the one who's in charge of the mise-en-scene, the planning and the making of the thing. He's framing this image. He's really trying to create the symbol in such a way that it will move the narrative forward. So I would say that Caleb Deschanel did a masterful job. I've been a fan of his work for years, and he loves to use light and contrasts, and I think that light and contrast is a very big element in this particular film, not only in the photography but in other elements of the film as well. Darkness of the night, he photographs the whole thing with not candlelight, but you know, these pots that are burning. The light is coming from those sources, not from above. It's not a typical kind of Hollywood even lighting that you might have in a studio, and then you break from that to the very next morning, where it's an absolutely beautiful morning, and he captures the moisture on the ground, the sun coming up behind the Praetorium, it's a beautiful morning, and in a way that in itself creates a contrast with what we expect to come, which is the trial and the blood and the destruction.
It's also, I think, part of it is that Caleb is a very, it's a kind of cinematographer who takes risks. This film was very risky in cinematography. A lot of laws and regulations of Hollywood are not observed in here. I think Greg mentioned a couple of them, not using the regularly, the normal light sources that Hollywood uses, right. Cutting from dark to light the way he did, using so many close-ups and not really using that many or very, very few long shots, cutting from one close-up to another, cutting from beauty to ugliness and vice versa. These are things that not every cinematographers would be interested in doing because they are very risky. Mm. And I think that's a factor there too.
He was much influenced by the Baroque artist Caravaggio, who played with that sort of dramatic contrast regularly and who uses realism in his paintings very heavily. So, and he does that during the time of the church history called the Counter-Reformation, when the Catholic Church was reacting against the Protestant dislike of images. And so the Catholic Church encouraged artists, ordered artists actually, to make their images so dramatic that the viewer will become personally involved and will almost be converted. The spirit will speak directly through the flesh to the spirit of the viewer. It was supposed to raise piety in the viewer. They were kind of like prayers or sermons.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so he got the whole aspect of that Counter-Reformation.
What about the scenes Mel Gibson created that weren't really written in the New Testament? Were such scenes helpful on the film? For example, I'm thinking of Jesus being thrown over a bridge. Remember that scene?
All right, mm-hmm. That's the bungee
not
jump.
Yeah, that's not in any of the four Gospels.
Well, so what?
And what about even the crow?
Mm-hmm. That's
taking the eye away.
Yeah, what did you think of those scenes that I didn't find in the New Testament?
Let's take the crow scene. Yeah. For me, I didn't care for that little thing because I thought it was kind of like the wrath of God. You know, God's getting even now for you, with you, for talking back to his. That's how I took it.
I took it.
What is
opposite.
The point of this crow? You know, and in a way, that's a real risk on Mel Gibson's part because he's building this image of forgiveness and enduring love, and then he throws this crow in here. And anyway, good. What did you think?
I actually, talking about symbolism, I really saw the crow as a manifestation of the Satan.
Oh,
throughout the film,
okay.
We see the Satan in that dark robe, very sort of crow-like image.
Ah.
And then, to me, at the end, what happened was even Satan could not take such an insult to Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, that's really
point.
What I got out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would make more sense in terms of the whole thing.
What about the depiction of Satan in the in the film? Do you want to say something about that?
I think that was fantastic. I think the fact that we really don't know what is it that Satan thinks. Mm. And Satan observes throughout and somehow is affected by the suffering.
Mm.
And that's what made me feel like the crow is the reaction of Satan himself.
Well, you know, Satan, too, is... kind of, I think he starts the narrative going with respect to, you know, in films the narrative has things called hubs, which are like the hub of the wheel, and the narrative turns around this. Mm-hmm. It's an event or something that gets the action moving. And it's in the garden and all of that blue fog that Satan says to Jesus, do you believe that one man can shoulder the burden of sin? And when he says that, he establishes the role of the narrative, because it's up to Gibson now,
mm-hmm.
to take this question and sort of reveal it or discuss it in visual terms with the audience. Because what happens in the suffering that is so vividly depicted in the movie is that he no human being could suffer the way mm-hmm. this guy is being tortured. I mean, he would have died right at the scourging if mm-hmm. it was anybody. Your heart would give out. And yet he keeps going. So in a way, that not to defend the violence in it, or, you know, in that respect, but it was a necessary, that brutality was necessary to keep that question moving, or I should say the narrative moving.
What'd you so think on. Of the way Gibson depicted the resurrection?
I didn't like it.
Why?
It was too brief, and I was laughing with Pat and Mahmoud the other day that if he spent $30 million on this movie, he spent $29,999,000 on the whole film, and then he had $1 left over for the resurrection. It was too quick, and what I wanted to see was a little more of the kind of Jesus that appeared in the flashbacks. I would have thought perhaps the scene in John where he's making breakfast for the apostles by the on the shore, you know, something like that that would connect with the humanity in the flashbacks. And the other thing was the music. Oh, forget it.
Okay, we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask about some of the other film productions of the story of Jesus. I'm thinking of Godspell, you know, Jesus Christ Godspell,
right?
Or Superstar, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Godspell, and Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, Mel Gibson observed, and this is a quote, "I don't think other films have tapped into the real force of this story. They are either inaccurate in their history, or they suffer from bad music or bad hair." End quote. What do you think about that?
Gibson is right.
Yeah, I think he's right.
I watched a little bit of George Stevens' The Greatest Story Ever Told after I saw Gibson's movie, and I could not believe the contrast. Jesus, there were no marks on his body. There were these two symmetrical lines of blood coming down from the crown of thorns. The most you could say was that Max von Sydow looked like he was out of breath. You know, it's not. It's a very different depiction. It's more reverential and devout.
Do you think it really raises the bar in terms of depictions of Jesus?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I think it also raises the bar in terms of filmmaking.
Yes, it does. I agree with that.
And how about the acting of Jim Caviezel?
That was very good.
Superb.
Very good.
Okay, we've covered much ground in this News and Views program about the film The Passion of the Christ. A film such as this, phenomenal as it is, can be appreciated on many different levels. Educated John Dewey said, "Art is the quality of doing and of what is done." So a work of art exists when someone cooperates. That includes you, our listeners, and filmgoers. Thank you, Dr. Patricia Trudy-Kuhil, Dr. Mahmoud Garimi-Hakak, and Professor Greg Zoltowski for sharing your creative arts expertise and views about this important film in the news. This is Father Kevin Mackin, President of Siena College. Tune in to News and Views the first Saturday of each month at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on WVCR 88.3 FM in New York's Capital Region, or listen on the World Wide Web at www.wvcr.com. For more information about this and other Siena College programs, visit www.siena.edu/publicaffairs.